Product Breakfast Club.
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 Hey, Product Breakfast Club. Oh, hey.
Oh,
hey. Oh, welcome to the Product Breakfast Club. I'm your host, Jake Knapp in San Francisco of the Product Breakfast Club.
I can't not sing my one now, or else it'll be really weird.
It's really weird already.
This is Jonathan Courtney from Berlin, and I'm also the host. That's pretty an annoying intro right there.
Yeah. We just lost the entire audience. The whole audience is gone.
For many people,
already.
That will be quite annoying. Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Product Breakfast Club. I have a cold today. I hope it doesn't impede your listening experience.
The Product Breakfast Club is a highly rated product innovation and design process podcast that comes out every Monday morning and always appreciates your 5-star reviews on iTunes.
We're getting pretty good. We got like, I think, 89 reviews last time I checked.
Oh, wow. On the American store.
Yeah.
We've got 75 on the German store.
Okay. Oh, that's, wow, that's good.
Yeah. It's not as good as the American store.
The first one on the American store is 2 stars, and for the first person who ever reviewed the podcast, all the rest are like pretty much 5 stars, I think.
Mm.
And for some reason, that's the one that it shows.
God when you go damn to the it. Thing.
It's like 2 stars. I know. So
see what happens,
man,
when you're a piece of shit?
You know, that's what happens. That's what happens. It is a 5-star podcast, not a 2-star podcast, in case you're wondering.
Welcome to a 5-star podcast.
Welcome to a 5-star podcast.
Absolutely.
John, you said that you had a topic for me today.
Oh, Jake, it's going to be so fun.
All right.
Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
I've done a little bit of searching. We're going to look for articles that people have written about how the design sprint doesn't work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah.
And I thought it'd be just fun to go through them, not like mock them, but like pick out things that they might be right about. And,
yeah,
you know, I just thought it'd be a little bit fun to go through, you know, articles that talk about how the design sprint doesn't work. I guess one of the reasons or one of the things that I've seen, one of the trends that I've seen when people talk about the fact that the design sprint doesn't work is that they're kind of trying to use it for everything and assume it is supposed to be used for everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's also...
That'll probably come up.
Yeah, will definitely come up. But it's also because, you know, if you look at our content, if you look at the Agile Smart content, maybe if you listen to this podcast, you probably would assume we think that the design sprint is the only solution to everything.
Right, right.
Development cycles, use the design sprint, literally won't work. Literally
right,
makes no
right,
sense.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, we need to restock the fridge, design sprint.
Design sprint, yeah, totally. I
Done.
Need to put on pants, design sprint.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
severely
it's...
Severely constipated. So, might work.
Well, actually.
Yeah.
So we need to do this episode. This is going to be great. By sprint.
Yeah, obviously.
Work important, but also people fun. We need to talk
yes.
about what's
yes.
going on in your life because is there a baby?
Oh, the baby is not here yet. No, the due date was Monday. It is right now Thursday.
Okay.
So
we're in overtime.
We're in overtime.
Pregnancy overtime.
It's interesting. So because the baby's not there yet, I'm in a mixture of limbo and like hardcore work mode. So I spent the last 3 days recording over 30 videos for AJ and Smart. So this is like crazy batching.
What? These are for social. These are social media, YouTube kind of like little shares.
Yeah.
Are you doing a new course? What's going on? 30 is so many.
Well, it's a secret. It's a secret, Jake.
Okay.
But we are testing out.
Can't even tell me, huh?
I can tell you. I can definitely tell you. I'm just
You don't want to tell everybody. You just can't tell
I don't
them.
Want to ruin the surprise. It's not that I don't want to tell everybody, but we've been teasing it on Instagram for the last 5 days and that would ruin it now. We are recording something that you can buy. It is not related to design sprints, strangely enough.
Oh.
But it's a little bit about the journey of building AJ and Smart. So the 30 videos are essentially very heavily focused on finance. Very heavily focused on sales.
Okay.
And the last 3 days have really been around how to take the work that you're doing as a consultant, like the kind of messy design work that you're doing, and how to package that up in a way that's easy for clients to understand so that it's easier to sell what you do. And it's a bit of an experiment that we're trying out, which obviously could fail, but we're just seeing where it goes. We're just playing around with it a little bit.
Wow, that sounds really good, actually.
I'm looking forward to showing it to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool.
But it's a long way away. it's not just a video course, but it is some sort of an online program if you're interested in increasing sales. If you're specifically running a small agency, and not to disappoint people, but it's not about the Design Sprint. But the Design Sprint course is absolutely after exploding. It's after it has exploded. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It has exploded.
Sorry. I was listening to you, and I'm sure everybody was, but I just remembered the cliffhanger from last episode. Oh. When we left you last episode, you were stuck in a bucket in Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Your character, who you had spent 30 hours or something, 25, 30 hours building up, had gotten stuck in a bucket, and you were just in this glitch.
Yeah.
You had quit the game, started again, you were still in the bucket. What happened? People have been dying to know. I know people have just been dying.
It's been huge. So the PlayStation was in rest mode, which means it wasn't off.
Okay. Okay.
I turned it on. I sat down for, you know, a good night of playing, and Arthur, the character in the video game Red Dead Redemption 2, was still stuck in the bucket.
Oh, man.
I actually got a cold sweat. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I actually resigned to the fact that I was just going to give up this game now.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't willing to...
Didn't want
to
do it over again.
No way. No way. It's too detailed. It took too long. So what I did was I kind of just prayed that it wasn't actually saved, and that somehow it saved kind of earlier. There was no more save files. This is like a Apple-style game where it sort of hides the save files from you, so you don't really know how it's saving. So I turned off the PlayStation fully, shut down the game, plugged it out and everything, restarted it, and Arthur's no longer in the bucket.
Oh, oh man. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a relief.
Yeah, it's
what a
so
relief.
Good. It's so good. Wow. Like, I got him out of the bucket. I'm never going near that bucket again.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. What happened was I was standing behind a guy who was sitting down at a campfire. I wanted to fry my fish, and so I pressed triangle.
You wanted to fry your fish. It's that detailed. You have to eat and stuff. Oh, man.
It's super detailed. Like, your food will rot as well, which is crazy.
Do you go to the bathroom?
You don't go to the bathroom, but you shower, you cut your hair, you shave. There's lots of like really, really tiny details. The only thing you don't do, I mean, your character shits his pants. That's the thing. It's just constant.
You just have to get new pants.
Yeah, every time. I did actually have to do a mission yesterday on a boat, and I wasn't looking fancy enough, so I had to buy a tuxedo for the mission. So it's kind of cool. So yes, I'm glad you brought that back up.
Yeah.
So if anyone didn't listen to the last episode, you should jump on in there. Jake, we announced last week that we had Product Breakfast Club t-shirts as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A confusing thing happened. So I thought that people kind of knew about show notes, podcast show notes.
Uh-huh.
I was wrong. It's not something that a lot of people really know how to look at.
Yeah.
In the same way that a lot of people don't know how to find podcasts. That's not a joke. Like, a lot of people don't know about what a podcast is. And that's not a problem. It's just that it's not something that's super popular yet.
It's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
But not for us. It just sucks for us.
So what happened was I got a ton of messages on Monday saying, hey, check the AJ and Smart website. Couldn't find the t-shirts. So I started replying to everyone one by one. Here's a really quick thing about the t-shirts. If you can figure out where the show notes are.
It's an Easter egg.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the bucket in Red Dead Redemption. You have to get like pushed over by the guy who's frying fish.
If you can figure out where the show notes are in this podcast, there'll be a link. These t-shirts are on sale until December 15th. One of the t-shirts is already sold out.
Whoa.
We wanted them to be as limited edition as possible. Again, these t-shirts are one of a kind, limited edition. As soon as they're sold out forever. And on December 15th, all the t-shirts will be gone. They're a little bit overpriced because of the service we're using. Pretty much none of this money goes to us. In fact, I still don't have one of the t-shirts. I ordered it last week for like $38 and I still don't have it. But it's a fun little experiment, but you won't find it by searching for it on the internet. You have to click this link in the show notes of the podcast. Apologies for the confusion. I assumed that it was like this thing that was everyone knew about and it's just like a nerd thing. But there are show notes in your podcast app. This podcast you're listening to right now, if you like swipe around somewhere, you'll find notes and you can tap a link in there and you can buy a t-shirt.
I'm so embarrassed, John. While you were talking, I was like, I'm going to look at the show notes right now. And I like reached for my phone. And then I remembered that I'm in the podcast. It's not, I'm not listening to it.
You're in it. This yeah. is the podcast, Jake.
I'm not even joking. That really happened.
Jake, it's almost 1 year since our first episode.
Oh, hey, that's cool. Yeah. What date will it be when it's 1 year? Do you know?
Well, if we just count the release of the podcast,
okay.
it will be, let me have a quick look here. It's December, so it's not yet.
We should have a birthday party.
Of course. Obviously, yeah. we're going to have a... Jake, obviously we're going to have a birthday party. Yeah. I'm not a psychopath.
Obviously. Oh my God, there's 70 new emojis.
Yeah, crazy.
There's probably some to help us with that.
Oh, episode one was released on the 30th of November, 2017.
Oh, so this is going to be awful close when it comes out, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We might have to do like a slightly belated birthday party so we can do yeah. it properly.
4th of December, though, was where we... release three episodes in a row, so that can also be the day where it was the birthday. Whatever. Happy birthday to us, everybody.
Happy birthday.
What sort of things do you want people to do for your birthday, for your podcast birthday?
Pod day. Birth pod.
Key birthday to
I think people should share their favorite emojis in a way that, yes. that makes for a celebratory
yes
thing. I think that in whatever form they want to share those, they can yep. send those in an email. They could put those into a 5-star review.
Yeah, right into the podcast. Say happy birthday. We'll be yeah. happy with that.
Yeah.
Send us a picture of you listening to the podcast where you usually listen to it.
Yeah.
Including if that's in the toilet. send that on. All right. Let's All do right. it. Let's do the podcast.
Let's do the podcast.
The design sprint is dead, okay?
Okay.
That's what we're going into. Okay. Design sprints, they don't work.
I fully accept that premise.
They don't work. Okay.
Next topic.
That's what we're going to work on.
Agreed.
Okay, so let's have a look.
Okay.
First article I found. By the way, anyone listening to this, I am not reading these like an angry person. I am genuinely interested.
It is interesting, actually.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, exactly. So these
people
are not
have good. Yeah, people have good like constructive comments on this topic. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. I'm curious to see what we'll find.
The only thing is that because this is the Product Breakfast Club, I haven't prepared. I'm going to try to skim through these articles.
Okay, real time.
In real time. So it's my first time reading them.
Okay.
So first article is from the co-founder of Mule Design. Mule Designer, a very, very famous company. And it's not Mike Montero, it's Erica Hall.
I think it's Mike Montero. I don't know if it's Montero.
And he wrote the fuck you pay me thing. He's very angry.
He's awesome. So is Erica.
He's awesome.
I think I know this one that we're going to be talking about.
Design sprints are snake oil, it's called.
Ah, yeah. That's the classic. That's the classic design sprint backlash. Yeah.
So, Jake, can you summarize in like one sentence what snake oil is?
Oh, yeah. Snake oil is... This is like a real thing, I think. Probably from the
Red
Dead Redemption era. But like the idea that snake oil was sort of a... cure-all medicine that you could take that would cure whatever ailed you. And of course, snake oil is not. It's not so good. It's helpful if you're a snake. You need it in your body. But if you're not a snake, it doesn't do much for you. So snake oil has become, at least in the United States, sort of a phrase for something that is bogus. Something that people are saying is a miracle cure, but it's not.
Mm. Yeah. So this article is interesting. It kind of jumps between... You should read the book. You should buy Sprint, essentially, is what Erica Hall is saying, which is great. Sprint. Obviously, we want that to be the main point of all of these articles. But she's also saying that, I also believe, this is a quote, I'm going to read it in what is probably not her accent because I'm Irish. I also believe that design sprints can appeal to people who are looking for an exciting panacea. Panacea? Mm-hmm. Panacea?
Panacea, yeah.
Panacea?
I think so.
Or who want to trade their habitual nostrum. This is all too wordy for me. For another, in order to avoid confronting deeper questions, dogma is comforting.
Yeah.
And in this business, it goes by many names. So I guess the general idea there is, look, the great thing here and why people like design sprints, it's because it's another solve all dogma like design thinking that they can just cling on to.
Yeah.
And it's just like comforting. And obviously the problem is that, at least what she's saying, people are just trying to sort of like apply it to everything and assume it works for everything. What do you think about that, Jake? Do you think you caused a problem here?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think in some contexts, yes. A lot of this probably comes back to the idea that, look, like when I started the design sprint, nobody ever heard of it. Nobody wanted to do it. It was this new idea. I had to pitch it to Google, and then I had to pitch it to startups. I had to, you know, when we were like sharing it, when I wrote blog posts about it, when we wrote the book, it was all like trying to like pitch it to people, like, hey, give this thing a shot. Like, you've never heard of this. Give it a shot. So I think what you have to do if you're marketing something is you got to be confident in it. You got to talk about all the things that are good about it. You want to be honest about the limitations, right? But you also want to be full of like confidence and optimism and talk about the things that work well. And truth is, Science Sprint, in my experience, works really, really well. It's really good at starting projects. That's what it's for, right? It's a great way to start a project with a team. Now, I think where people get tripped up is they 100% buy into all of the optimism, which is good. I want them to. But they take it even further and they don't think about what are the limitations or what is it really like for? And I do think there's a danger in that with anything. You have to look at everything and be like, okay, well, wait, like, let's be critical and questioning of it. Similarly, in order to get like, just like I had to really emphasize, you know, all of the possibilities and the potentials of a design sprint when marketing it, anybody who's writing a critical post about the design sprint also has to emphasize the negative in order to get attention. And that's sort of the world we live in. There's a lot of noise out there. If you want to get your message across, you kind of have to be really like intense on one side, like this is the solution to everything or this is a disaster. And so a lot of the posts about the design sprint, I suspect, and it's true here, it leads with, and Erica Hall is totally, she owns up, like, look, this is a clickbait title. And so the message here is a bit more nuanced. But yeah, I think she's saying, look, if you believe this is the answer for everything, like, it's not going to solve everything. It's not going to solve your whole culture. That's true. Like, it's not going to solve everything. It's not something you can do 52 weeks a year. I do think the design sprint is definitely created and optimized with an eye towards improving team culture and the respect for design in an organization. It's not going to have that effect in every single organization, but in many, it's going to have a beneficial effect, but a limited one. It's not the whole holistic thing.
So there's a sentence here at the end that I thought would be interesting to read. So no matter what your problem is, I suggest starting from a set of goals rather than a specific solution, no matter how appealing it sounds. Consider the larger context as well as the issue at hand. And while I'm grateful that the GV team shared their recipe for success, I prefer to remain unclear on how precisely one extracts the beneficial fatty acids from a slightly venomous cold water reptile. So basic point there is, she would prefer if there wasn't a very prescriptive way to kind of go into a project. She doesn't want it to be that when a company calls up that we basically say, or that they would basically say, okay, let's run a sprint and see how that goes. She'd rather figure out the processes and systems kind of on the fly based on what the problems actually are, which I think is a great thing to say if you're a super talented designer, if you're running a really amazing, excellent, award-winning design agency like Mule. However, I do think that what the design sprint does is gives people a framework to work with so that they're not constantly worried and thinking about what tools to use and what frameworks to use, that they can just sort of plug into the sprint and then focus on the challenges at hand. I think that one of the biggest problems that we used to have at AJ and Smart when we took this, let's say, toolkit approach, I would say. So we had maybe like 30 to 50 different exercises and different ways of doing projects. Number one, that was very stressful for us every time we would go into a project. It was also stressful for the client because they didn't really know what was coming next or what was coming up, because it was always like, oh, let's do a persona now. Oh, let's do a diary now. Let's do this now. Let's do that now. Whereas I feel like the sprint, especially for the beginnings of projects, helps us get this kind of alignment that's difficult to get with teams when they're trying to go in all these different directions without having to think about what exactly the step-by-step system is. So obviously, I understand why designers don't like to have prescriptive systems in place, but their clients would probably like to be able to use these prescriptive systems themselves. But obviously, agencies don't necessarily want their clients to be able to do that stuff themselves. What do you think about that, Jake?
Well, yeah. Well, I think that's a good point. You know, it is, I think, maybe difficult to remember sometimes when you're really good, like Erica is really good, right? Like, it may be difficult for her to remember that maybe when she was starting out, or she may always have been just like really good at this stuff. But like when you're starting out or when you're in a team who doesn't have an Erica Hall on your team, it can be hard to know how to start. It can be difficult to navigate that stuff. If you haven't already sort of figured out. This is my way of sort of breaking down and analyzing. And I would absolutely trust Erica Hall to figure out a customized, tailored way to begin a project on whatever I was working on.
Me too. I trust her too.
She's a better researcher than I am. She's a better design expert, like consultant than I am. I would totally trust her to do that. But yeah, like for a lot of folks, and certainly for me, I was like, I don't know what the best way to start is. So when I headed down this path of like, I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm going to try to just like isolate this week and experiment on this week and come up with a recipe. It was because I needed that. And I think a lot of that is why like a lot of teams feel like they need it. Like it's helpful to them. And I think there is more tension when people are like, I don't need that. I've already got a really robust way of starting projects or figuring out how to tailor it, whatever. I think if you're in that position, if you don't need it, good. Like, don't use it. Probably what's frustrating is when you're in that position, if you start to encounter people who are saying, like, we'd like you to start with a design sprint.
With the design sprint, yeah.
And you might be saying, well, I have other ideas about how we can start in a constructive way. I'm sure there are people out there who have better ways to start for them in their context with their company or with who they are, the skills they have. But I think the vast majority of people, like the design sprint, again, for the starting point is going to be better than the way they start. So you have to be careful to not like, if you're a pro at it, like, you know, throw it under the bus, because for the huge majority of people, it is the best way to start.
Yeah. Okay. So what would we give Erica's article a 1 to 10 rating in terms of, we're going to court and this court case decides whether the design sprint continues or not. How convincing is her argument in terms of like destroying the design sprint forever?
I'm going to give, so if 10 is like...
10 is the design sprint's dead.
Yeah. I'm going to give her an 8.
Okay.
When I saw that she had written, I just saw the headline and I don't like Erica Hall's like, I just like had that like physical reaction of, you know, like I was like, oh God, you know, when you feel like you like screwed something up.
Yes. Yes. I know the feeling, man.
I get like hot in the face. Like my whole body temperature rose by like 20 degrees.
Yeah.
I remember I was putting my son to, he was like falling asleep and I had the laptop, which I was like, terrible parent. I was like, oh God, I have to read this right now. But I was just like, I was so horrified about what she was going to say. And then when I read it, I was like, oh, actually, it's a constructive argument. And it was the first time I had heard somebody say like, hey, be careful about this running amok and trying to do this design sprints all the time for everything. There's danger in that. And I think that was like a really good perspective. I'm going to give this an 8. I'm not going to give it a 10 because, you know, it's a little bit of a bait and switch with the headline, but that's how we get people to pay attention.
But I'm fine with bait and switch. Have you read the names of these podcast episodes?
Exactly. Exactly. Right? I mean, it's totally fine.
I'm going to give it a 6 because it ignores the context of non-designers doing things.
Oh, that's important. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. I mean, the people I work with, the clients I work with, they're not designers. They're people who want to get things out on the market. You know, it's not about design. It's about creating a product that can, you know, help this company. And for me, that's more important than the, oh, well, I want to use my own system and I want this to be a bit more open and I want more room for creativity. It's just not the kind of thing I value for AJ and Smart. So for me, I think the design sprint stays alive after this one.
Okay, good.
I think we're good. All right, let's move on. So we got an article here. Oh man, you know what, Jake? I did something bad. I just got a call and I just got a message. Jason, you can leave this in. I forgot I was supposed to give a talk tonight.
Are you going to be able to do it?
I guess I can do it.
I don't see why not.
Oh, shit. I don't know how I forgot about that. I usually don't forget about those sort of things. It's just all the baby week going crazy and then all the filming. Let's get back to this. I just thought it would be funny to... But that's why I got a little bit distracted a second ago and had to keep checking my phone. Okay, let's have a look at one. This one is not as much criticism as it is maybe... Let's look at it, okay? This is an article called When a Design Sprint Isn't the Answer. It's on InVision's blog, and it's by a guy called Justin Zalowski.
Okay? I'm going to open this up myself this time so I can read along.
When a Design Sprint Isn't the Answer. Okay, so this guy is kind of breaking down the times you shouldn't use design sprints. And instead of going into detail, I'm going to read out the reason. And then we both either say true or false, and maybe just like one sentence, because I've got more articles. Okay, let's do one, okay? You shouldn't do a design sprint when there isn't enough information up front to effectively inform the solution. False!
I don't agree with that.
Good. Okay. Why? One sentence.
Because the design sprints are a great way to start getting information, actually. So sometimes a not perfectly informed hunch could actually lead to a good solution. Not always, sometimes.
So true. So true, doggy. Okay, number two. Okay, number two. Is it okay if I call you doggy?
It is. In fact, I prefer it. I've been waiting this whole time we've known each other for you to start calling me doggy. Now it begins.
Number two. It's not a good idea to do a design sprint when it isn't a product design problem.
Oh, false. False. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that either because it's just problem solving, actually. I think it has been proven that it works for different things. I've applied it to a few, mostly product design, a few other things. A lot of other folks have tried it at organizational problems, you know, how to make decisions better in our team. I think it's more flexible than that.
I agree. Okay. Number three, and it's actually the last one already. It's a pretty short article. Yeah. You shouldn't ever run a design sprint when an effective prototype can't be produced in a day.
I don't agree with that either. This is actually, it's a pretty well-written article. I'm just kind of like skimming it, reading
it.
Yeah.
Everyone can write articles.
But I don't agree with this because I think when you say that, then all of a sudden you're like, well, okay, so we need to spend a week building this prototype. And then it can just sort of falls apart into the old thing where the team goes off and comes up with their solution. And then later on we do like a test, but it becomes just a usability test because the whole team's not going to watch. If you force yourself to come up with something in a day, you'll force yourself to focus on the most important parts. And yeah, like you can build an effective prototype, even of a thing that's overwhelmingly big and complicated. You might not get it right, but you're going to learn something. And that all comes back to why you do a design sprint when you're starting something big. Maybe you want to use an adaptation of the design sprint for designing your more complicated flow or whatever, fine. But like when you're starting something big, there is always a benefit in doing the prototype in just one day.
Really like it. So this article, well written. Thanks a lot, Justy. We didn't really agree with any of these points. However, if this was to be kind of brought to the courtroom where the judge is very annoyed because this sort of design sprint trial is running where so many other bad things are happening in the world, out of 10, how dangerous do you think this article is? Like, how good is this evidence?
Well, what's good about it is this is a person who runs design sprints at their agency. Oh. So this is a person who has every reason, actually, to want you to think you could do design sprints all the time.
Damn it, yeah.
So it is actually, it's compelling evidence, right? Like, it's like the criminal who's turned state's evidence. He's copped a deal, yeah. Right? So I think as a judge, yeah, you're paying attention to this.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, if you're at an agency or if you're doing design sprints, you might feel like, not wrongfully so, it would be better for you to follow these rules because then you could be sure your team has the best chance of delivering something good because you know it's like it's in your wheelhouse. Like if you're a digital design agency, like right in your wheelhouse. That might be for the right audience, might be a good point. But I don't think, even given all that, if I'm the judge, I don't think I want to kill design sprints because of this. I'm giving this a 2.
Oh, wait. So you're saying it's not very good evidence? As in it's going to help the design sprint survive?
It's credible, but I don't think it's going to kill the design sprint. That's my take.
Let's move on to the last one. I'm going to skip one of the ones I chose because it's boring.
Okay.
So this one came out relatively recently, and it's called... Okay. Why I'm breaking up with design sprints.
Oh, I'm glad you're doing this one because I just saw this.
And it is from a guy called Michael, who's the design and strategy director of a company called Reason. I always love how much better everyone's websites are than AJ and Smart's.
How do you think I can find it? I just ran a web search for why I'm breaking up with design sprints.
I guess I could probably send you the link, you know?
Oh, that could work.
How about that? How about I send you the link? It took me a while to find it again as well. Okay, here we go. I'll just squirt that over there.
I did find one called Why Your Design Sprints Always End in Tears. That's interesting.
That's a bit sad.
I know why mine do.
Because I love to cry.
Okay, I found it. Okay, I'm on it. Thank you for that link.
Okay, so this was from a talk that this guy did in London at a conference called Design Thinking London. Suspicious, huh? Uh-oh. And what's also great about this article is that he uses the AJ and Smart logo in there, because it's an example of the fact that design sprints are a big business. You can make lots of money with them, which is true. I'll agree with him on this one. I will agree. Okay, so here's the article is basically about his reasons for breaking up with design sprints and the reasons that they're actually not going to use design sprints anymore.
Okay.
So pretty clear cut. Here's like two big points that he points out here as like kind of, I guess these seem to be like the meta points that are above everything else. So over 5 years of using design sprints.
Really nice timeline, really nice timeline, yeah. Which includes the original blog posts, which is cool.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really good. However, I have to say, we only started running design sprints 6 months before the book came out, and the blog posts really didn't help us to figure out what exercises. We've only been running design sprints for 2.5 years. These guys have been running design sprints for 5 years. So they really extrapolated a lot about what the design sprint is from like one piece of text that you put out there 5 years ago. Well done, I must say. Two big things. Number one, over 5 years of running design sprints, we have consistently not achieved the level of creative output that reason demands. So this is the company.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. That sucks.
We've consistently not delivered the lasting impact that we set out to deliver. So I'll just read this a little bit here.
Yeah.
I wanted to know why we were not getting the results we wanted from design sprints when so many people espouse their virtues. I decided to do some research to figure out why we were struggling. I locked myself in a room.
I hope not literally.
With no windows. No, that's not in there. Looked through all the old photos, retro sketches, and outcomes of all our previous design sprints. Some pretty clear themes started to emerge. Jason, can you put like creepy music behind while I'm reading this as if it's like a murder mystery? Some pretty clear themes started to emerge. But that was just me. And as we all know, what good is a test group of one? So then, I went out and spoke to experienced designers with various backgrounds from agencies, startups, big corporates, and individual... He didn't fucking call me, all right? Individual consultants. After speaking with numerous people, I was comforted to learn that it wasn't just... confirmation bias, huh? It wasn't just me feeling this way. And in fact, the same topics are coming up over and over again. I was able to distill this down to 3 key themes.
Well, let's pause for a second and say the name of the companies. He talked to Deliveroo. Deliveroo is a big deal in the UK, right?
Yeah. So people from these companies he spoke to. And by the way,
people from these companies.
Many people work at these companies. And I know for a fact that many people also really like design sprints in these companies.
I also know for a fact that at least a couple of these companies, well, Uber and Google, who are listed, run design sprints often in ways that are not like what I would describe as a design sprint.
Very different. Extremely different.
But... also, he's actually been quite thorough. He has talked to reputable companies. So Deliveroo, which if you haven't heard of it, if you're in the UK, is a big deal. I know they're everywhere there. Uber, Google, Snapchat. Would you say Snap or Snapchat? I don't know.
Yeah, they're called Snap these days, okay. But Snapchat is the product.
I think everybody knows. Okay, and what's the one under Uber? It's like
it's a Channel 4. It's a British channel.
British Channel 4. Okay. Reason. Well, that's folks
that's
he
themselves.
Works with. Yeah, and the Gap.
Yeah, Gap makes some sort of beige pants.
beige pants.
Gap used to be the clothes from the... Okay, so let me tell you the key reasons why he's fallen out of love with design sprints. Number one is timing. The design sprints place a massive emphasis on a single point in time, and with good reason. Their claim is solve big problems and validate ideas in 5 days. People believe this. I believe this. We are led to assume we apply the same process in 5 days and we have an answer. Oh, he used a quote from you. For example, start by taking a step back from the problem to discover, diverge, and explore the full ecosystem. Get to know the customer, then start to converge on a focusing question or design brief.
Okay. I did not say this.
Maybe you did.
No, because I did see this post. And I have a PDF of the sprint book.
Oh my God, this is a
and
scandal.
I searched. Well, no, I think it's just a misquote. I think it's just some, it must be somebody else. Maybe I said it in one of the blog posts. This does not sound like the way I talk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really too.
It's fine.
Really not the way you speak.
It's fine, but it's just not the way I talk. And I saw this and I was like, God, when did I say
when
that?
When was I such a piece of shit?
You know what? Keep reading. I want to look and see if I said in the blog post. It's not in Sprint. It says it's in Sprint. It's not, but maybe...
This is straight from the Sprint Manifesto. We are talking about some pretty big thinking here. This all needs to be done on day one. Design sprints are marketed, sold, packaged, and consumed as a five-day process to fix complex problems when in fact they are not. They are a small speck, a little tiny little dot on the horizon.
Still I added piece, that color in. Piece of crap.
yeah. That encompasses design research through customer development, through product delivery, and ongoing iteration. These 5 days spent doing this sprint can be the result of months of preparation work. Not really true. The second reason that he fell out of love with sprints is called the local maximum. The local maximum, reaching... Oh, by the way, Jason, you don't have to have the music playing the entire time.
But it would be great if it was.
Yeah, but maybe every time, maybe stop it when myself and Jake are talking to each other and start it when I actually read the article again, like kind of detective music. The local maximum, reaching the glass ceiling, whatever you want to call it, happens when you set limits on what you can do. In a design sprint, the process itself can do this. Man, Jake, it is such a pleasure at AJ and Smart that we can set limits and have these limits. I find limitless work to be super, at least for a person like me, it just makes me go on and on forever and never get anything done. But back to this.
Okay. Also, I have searched now through all of my blog posts from the Design Sprint blog post and also the Sprint book. And the word ecosystem is not in any of those. Like, it's just not a word that I use. So
I think you use it all the time.
Maybe I do. Maybe somebody's going to be like, here's 20 times when you said ecosystem. But anyway, I just want to say, and actually I should probably, I don't like talking about this guy. It's like subtweeting him to not like just talk to him directly. I should tell him directly, but I don't actually know how. I don't know if there's contact info in here. But this quote is not by me.
Okay.
It's not like necessarily a bad quote, but you got to be careful with saying, hey, here's a big quote by Jake Knapp.
This
is straight from the Sprint Manifesto. We're talking about some pretty big thinking here, and this all needs to be done day one. Whoa. I didn't say that.
But I think you did. I think you're a scumbag. But the next quote here is, it says that you hate all... So, I hate all animals.
Yeah, well,
if there was any way that I could get rid of them from the planet, I'd do it in 1 second.
That is a quote.
From the Sprint Manifesto.
That's on Sprint page 3.
Okay, so I think the local maximum thing... I don't 100% get what it means, but should we have speed cameras in design sprints? So I think the goal or this section sums this up. Yes, the process is optimized for speed, but is it optimized for results? We may have laid the track, set the direction, applied blinkers, all for the sake of achieving a 5-day design sprint. Because we follow the process, confirmation bias kicks in. We hear what we wanted to hear, pat each other on the back at the end of the day, and Friday equals all good. I think it's like, it does come down to how you look at it. At AJ and Smart, we are looking at it as a process that helps teams get started.
Yeah.
That helps them gain momentum and does help them put some blinkers on because, of course, there's infinite choice for starting a project. And you do just need to make some decisions to move forward. So what I've seen the design sprint do is help teams that have been stuck going in circles for months just make some goddamn decisions and not make it feel like such a big thing to make a decision. And I think one thing that design agencies do, and we used to do this in the past, and we are guilty of this too, is make the clients feel like their decisions are a lot more important than they are. You know, if you choose red, then it's like going to be this really, if you choose that font, then you're still blah, blah, blah. A lot of these things don't matter. Really. And I think that us designers sometimes focus in too much on how much these smaller non-business things are actually important.
A quick take on this one. I know I kind of rat-holed on the quote.
Rat-holed.
I think it's an honest mistake. My hunch is actually that it might be from the Design Sprint book, which he also references in the post. So the book not by me, but there's the other book that came out about Design Sprint. So maybe it's from that one. I think it's just an honest mix-up with that one. I think that his angle here is like there's some validity to it. And this comes back to that idea of trying to sell Design Sprints in the first place. So the subtitle of the book is... How to solve big problems and test new ideas in 5 days. And that is a bold claim to solve a big problem in 5 days. Look, I'll be honest with you. If it was more honest, it might be how to start solving a big problem.
Mm.
It is meant for big problems, but you're not going to have the finished whole complete thing in 5 days.
Yeah.
If people take it as that, like the whole thing will be done in 5 days. And if you're a design agency and you're like, we're now going to be able to give people the finished, completed, the whole thing will be all buttoned up and done. And we'll have this like No, like, you're not. It's going to move along lots of things. It's going to get things started. But there's this whole other part of the design work that you have to do afterwards. It's like when I worked with folks from your team, actually not you, but folks from AJ and Smart on the MakeTime app, which hopefully is coming out late November. Hope maybe around the time this podcast comes out or early December, that'll be coming out. That started with a design sprint. But then there was all this design work that Tim and Fetter and Rob did afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not design sprint, design sprint, design sprint, design sprint. There's like this other stuff that has to happen. And so maybe that gets lost in the message because people like you and me have been trying really hard to get people to pay attention to this new way of working, this new way of starting things.
Yeah.
You can't complicate a message if you want people to pay attention to it and say like, yeah, and then also afterwards, you're going to have to solve your own thing about. So yeah, like maybe because of the success of getting this message across, we need to make sure people know now, like, yeah, there's this whole other thing you're still going to need to do. This is just a way to start.
Exactly. This is just a way to start is a very important part of it. And that's also how we talk about it on our sales calls with our clients. It's about the beginning. So finally, number three is it's got to work. And he actually uses the snake oil reference here.
Yeah.
So he does mention, if you zoom in on the slide, he mentions Erica Hall. So that must have been from the talk. And at the end, he also, in closing, it's actually kind of a little bit of a passive aggressive in closing. In closing, I do believe design sprints can help solve hard problems. I also believe design sprints can appeal to people who are looking for a silver bullet, are looking for an answer to design, but don't want to do the hard work. That's basically me. That's basically AJ and Smart. We don't want to do the hard work.
That's also me.
We don't want to do the hard work, dude.
That is also me.
And third bullet point is no matter what your problem is, I suggest starting from a set of goals rather than a specific method, no matter... Sound familiar? No matter how appealing it is. So that's from the Erica Hall article. That's the same editing.
Yeah. I don't totally get that. I have to say, like, the more that I'm thinking about that one, like, in a design sprint, don't you, when you run a design sprint, start with goals? I mean, that's actually is what we do in a design sprint. It's like, figure out what our goals are.
Yeah, that's the start of the design sprint, yeah.
Also, I have to say, like, I've never worked at a design agency, so I don't really know really how a project normally starts. So I maybe just be, like, naive about sort of the right way.
Obviously, we're just kind of shitting all over these articles and they're totally fine. And I am the worst. I write so many ridiculous articles. I like videos that are called design thinking doesn't work and blah, 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 blah. So you could easily do the same thing to me and you should. It's funny.
We should. Actually, that'd be the next
episode.
Yeah,
we should.
We should read your articles.
100%. 100%. We should start with the user research is overrated one. I love that.
Yeah.
Everyone freaked out when I wrote that. So, Jake, this last article, why I'm breaking up with design sprints, if it was brought before the court, what are you feeling?
Okay. Let's do this. Let's each think of a number, and then I'm going to do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, and we're both going to say our number at the same time. So 10 is dead, 0 is off the hook, walks out the door scot-free. The judge is about to place their ruling. We're going to count down. Get your number ready.
Where are you starting with the countdown?
Yeah, I'm going to count down. Just because we're both going to say our number at the same time. It's going to make it more dramatic. Okay. 3, 2, 1, 6, 7. Okay. All right. So I have it as a 7 because, again, this person has been doing design sprints for 5 years.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of experience doing it.
Mm.
They've turned on the defendant. And so, yeah, it's damning. It's damning evidence.
Oh, yeah.
I think as under cross-examination, I could say, hey, look, still saying that they are useful, that they have their place. It just, I think people are primarily saying design sprints should not be taken to be the answer to everything.
Yeah.
But I don't hear anybody saying like, this fundamentally doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I think it's a slap on the wrist for design sprints, but they're not going to be executed. That's my take. You?
Yeah. For me, it comes down to the sort of, I would say it comes across, again, because it's written by a designer, I actually think I'm going to go down to a 5.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I think if this same article was written by the type of person who actually needs design sprints to work, like a product manager, or, you know, like a company CEO, like in the end, the designers, what we're doing is helping enable these products to get out into the market. Let's say if I wrote this article, that's basically like the painter or the architect writing something about, oh, well, this system doesn't work and I just like to do it the way I like to do it. But I think that just doesn't really matter to anyone else. I don't think clients care whether or not, and not clients, it's not like clients or companies really give a shit whether the designers like the system or not. They just want to get the results as quickly as possible. I don't think it's damning. I like the quote, your quote. That actually, it's going back up to a six. It's going back up
fun.
To a six.
That was fun. That was fun. Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
The design sprint is dead. The design sprint is dead. Now that I remember your quote, I think it was really fun to read those articles.
That was good. That was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just realized that I was supposed to have a phone call with somebody like 15 minutes ago.
Jake.
So I probably better
That's fine.
Apologize to them.
That's fine.
Where can people find you online, John?
So people can find me on Instagram at jicecream. And if you're interested in learning about the design sprint for free, check out our YouTube channel, AJ Smart. Well, just search for AJ and Smart on YouTube and you'll find videos of AJ and Smart and Jake talking about design sprints. And only about how good they are.
Only about how good they are. We're never going to say
never.
That there's any flaw or limitation.
Never.
They're the best. They work for everything
yes.
all the time.
100%.
Buy Sprint.
Yeah.
People fun. You can find me online at jakenapp.com. If you want to find John and I, if you have an appointment with us in person, you should probably call us because we probably forgot. We're probably
yeah,
doing the podcast.
Shit. I'm usually really good at this. I'm usually very, very good.
I'm not good at it.
No, I won't.
Hard,
I don't want to call it out on the air, but Jake, you're a bit of a...
That next episode.
Let's sing Jake's. It out. Let's sing it out.
Judgment Club today.
The judge.
The judge. Ooh.